Part 1. Chapter 1. Late September, 1983. 10 miles off the coast of Fagerholsmari, eastern Iceland. The Leviathan's black and white skin flickered in the filtered moonlight as her dorsal fins sliced like a knife through the glassy surface of the North Atlantic. Her paddle-like flippers and tail fluke propelled her at a moderate pace on a southerly course, trailing behind her mother and matriarch, both blissfully in a state of sleep. As she glided silently through the tranquil waters behind Hope and Granny, Gladys marveled at her 14 family members, their sleek bodies moving gracefully in unison, the loud whoosh of their blowholes harmonized, echoing softly against the backdrop of the serene night as they passed to the eastern flank of the island known by fire and ice. Aroused by the vibration, Granny's sleeping eye snapped open, filled with an alertness that sent a thrill of excitement coursing through Gladys, who had sensed a reverberation in the ocean. In an instant, the matriarch surged forward, launching her massive body into the air like a rocket, her silhouette momentarily outlined against the glowing sky. Time seemed to freeze as Granny exhaled a plume of mist from the top of her head before crashing back into the parting water with a forceful splash, the sound resonating for miles through the underwater stillness. Then came the call, a rapid click train followed by a series of whistles that pierced the night, commanding the pod to turn southwest toward a familiar glacier lagoon. Her powerful ear receptors had detected a herd of seals heading toward the cracking ice. A fierce desire ignited within Gladys. She knew a last-minute hunt was on. The 178-foot whaler Reninki chugged through thin sheets of drift ice in the unusually glassy North Atlantic Ocean. Haldor Vollar Jr. found himself breathless as he stood next to his poppy, who steered the worn and rustic ship over 15-foot swells while gazing at the Aurora Borealis. It was an ethereal display of green, red, and purple hues that painted the pristine sky approaching the glaciers of Yarkulsarlón. The rippling, shimmering, and dancing flames of the lights were akin to a mystical time warp, the 15-year-old Haldor mused, a hole he had sailed through with his poppy, since this was the first time he had been allowed on the ship. It was also a good transition from the unproductive trout season on the Reykjadalsá River, and an escape from the doldrums of living with his mother. He inhaled a whiff of the clean air tinged with salt as a gust of wind hit the exposed pilot house. A creaking sound caused Haldor Jr. to screw his eyes up the 110-foot watchtower, secured by heavy stays fore and aft. Spotter Stefan's gaping head remained on a swivel as Haldor Jr.'s poppy removed his worn black gloves, moved his green parka up and out of the way of his blue jean pockets, and pulled out the smashed red box of Swedish brand-level cigarettes. "You want one?" Haldor Vollar Sr. asked his younger son, or sonner, referred to in Icelandic tradition as Haldorsson. Haldorsson looked like a deer in headlights. His mom forbade him to smoke, but all the cool kids at school participated, and so did his poppy, which is why he picked up the habit in the first place. He hesitated as he gazed at his poppy, whose face gave Haldorsson a confidence like no other. But this was further affirmation he had sailed through a wormhole, one that was getting better every moment. He would have thought it was a trick to see what he would do, except his mama and poppy were divorced. All their tricks seemed to have played on each other. Still, your mama doesn't need to know, Haldor said with a smile. He released the round wooden wheel, grabbed a stick, and handed one to his boy, who reluctantly took it. Then his poppy forced one to his own lips. After stuffing the smashed box back into his front jeans pocket, the elder Haldor regained his grip on the wheel. The huge silhouette of the snow-filled mountains sat on the barbarous and black coast to the port side of the ship. Haldorsson held the cigarette in his fingers, still wondering if this was some sort of test. "Huh," his poppy said as he glanced at the dash. His cigarette danced on his lips. 16 knots means we've picked up a slight current, which is pushing us. It wasn't a second after the words exited his mouth that the bell rang wildly from the barrel, causing Haldorsson's heart to stop. Unlit cigarette still dangling from his poppy's lips, Haldorsson held his in two fingers and watched his poppy's eyes dart across the bow of the 426-ton ship, his right hand gripping both red throttles, his left hand clutching the wheel as his neck swiveled back and forth. "I don't see any glaciers, do you, sonner?" he asked Haldorsson.
"No."
The ship's wake rolled past the ship as Stefan poked his covered head over the white bell-shaped barrel, his evil grin, long ginger hair sticking out, and a fierce red beard stiff with icicles made him look like a prehistoric Viking. Perhaps Thor himself, Haldorsson mused, although his own poppy's scruffy red beard competed for the same honor, even though his poppy was stronger than Stefan.
"Raskat," hollered Haldor, flipping the bird at Stefan.
Then he removed the cigarette from his mouth and glanced at his watch.
4:30 a.m., he uttered.
Captain Karsten Gisley's head popped out of the lower window.
"'Twas that skitter, Stefan," yelled Haldor.
He rummaged his lighter from his other pocket,
bent down, and carefully avoided the wind as a small flame flickered at the tip of his stick. He inhaled deeply as the cigarette lit up like lava. Then he handed the lighter to his sonner. "You really don't mind?" Haldorsen asked, holding the lighter, genuinely puzzled.
"One day you'll have to make your own choices. Might as well start now."
"Mama says smoking is a contradiction of your survival of the fittest mantra, and it's too expensive."
"It's not a mantra, it's a life philosophy," he said, hesitating. "It's not as bad as everyone says. I smoked when I was your age. But she's right about one thing. It is expensive, especially when she's taken all my money."
"You smoked at my age?"
His poppy nodded. Relieved, he bent down, lit his cigarette, and handed the lighter back to his poppy. Haldor tossed it into the rusting ashtray with a clank as the two pulled their gloves back over their hands like they were twins.
"Real fishermen can survive anything, including smoking," his poppy said, taking a drag and blowing out the smoke without looking at his boy. "And divorce."
"Hey," said Stefan, pointing as a herd of perhaps 50 seals, or dogs of the sea as they were often called, shot across the bow, emitting a chorus of chirps and mysterious calls that sent Haldorsen's heart racing.
"Does that mean they are whales?"
asked Haldorsen. He took a drag of his cigarette and coughed a little, probably because of the cold, since he'd been smoking since he was 13.
"That would be a long shot," replied his poppy with a smile.
"Don't whales eat seals?"
asked Haldorsen, looking up at his poppy, whose 6'2" frame still had him by a few inches.
"Orcas like seals, but they're rare around these parts."
"Have you ever caught any?"
Haldor shook his head.
"No, we typically don't even look for them since they are a quarter of the size of the finbacks. Finbacks are huge."
"I thought whales were whales," said the youngster, looking at his father blandly. "And they all get a lot of money."
"I did say that, didn't I, sonner?"
His poppy glanced a smile. Then he pushed the throttles forward. The big engines chugged into motion, dark smoke blasting out of the smokestack. A suspicious clanking sound called Haldorsen to look over the side of the ship at the same time as his poppy. The captain gave a thumbs up. Then a less than familiar man scurried across the deck.
"That's Goonie, the ship's engineer. He'll take care of that noise, don't worry," replied his poppy with a confident look.
Haldorsen watched the short man with scraggly hair and big eyes move ungracefully across the deck. His poppy told him he was a relative of a family of trolls, although Haldorsen didn't know whether he was kidding since his mother told him trolls were folklore, like Thor, but his poppy believed in that kind of stuff.
"Besides, Njord always looks over us when we hunt for whales. Njord is the
god of the sea," answered Haldorsen. "You told me."
The clanks disappeared, the tranquil sound of the huge steam engine swishing water against the ship's hull and the wind sailing across the bridge returned, bringing a smile to Haldorsen's face.
"See?"
his poppy said as Haldorsen nodded. He had a point about Njord. Another strange, distant, and muffled sound stimulated the nerve fibers of Gladys. Granny whistled sharply to Pilgrim, her mate, signaling him to take a defensive position behind the pod instead of continuing the pursuit of the seals. Then they modified their whistle frequency and duration because of interference. Even at 2, Gladys knew they were keeping something from her, because those modifications meant the interference was from the surface rulers. Besides, seals could evade orcas, but not that quickly. Granny's next instructions confirmed her doubts as the matriarch made the sounds that meant the pod was to accelerate. Knowing there would be other times to hunt, Gladys engaged her powerful tail fluke as hard as she was able, but the current they had picked up navigating the land was strong. Gladys struggled to keep up. As she glanced to her left, she noticed her brother Tillicum, affectionately called Tilly, had moved beside her. It was obvious that Tilly had purposefully slowed for Gladys. Being twice her age, he was naturally faster. Then the pod slowed. Gladys knew it was because of her. Orcas always stick together. Always.